Cape Talk.
Health and wellness.
Well, brace yourselves, ladies. If you don't like beards, sorry for you. Take a deep breath because Movember is here, and all over the world, men are growing out their facial hair for a very good cause. It's a great pleasure to welcome back. I think I've done this interview every year that I've been doing the show, Garen Gassell, but we can't do it enough because it needs to be spoken about more. Garen is the South African coordinator for Movember. Welcome back.
Thanks, Pippa. We're doing this dance again.
We have to keep on dancing because there are too many men who are not talking about these issues. Garen, it's the whole reason Movember exists.
This is exactly true, you know, and when we talk about the crisis that's facing men's health in this country and globally, you know, the fact that one man's dying every minute from suicide, the fact that prostate cancer is still the leading cancer affecting men, the fact that testicular cancer has doubled over the last 10 years, you know, these are things that men need to be aware of. You know, we often repeat this every year because the head in the sand approach is exactly why we ignore our health issues, and we often think that those things are going to go away. And here's the month of reminding ourselves, growing some facial hair, committing to the cause, whether it's to grow mo or to commit to moving. I think that's also a new addition to the campaign since we've last spoken. You can commit to moving for 30 days. So the impact of a sedentary lifestyle, we've also done some research and realized what the lack of exercises had an impact on men suffering with prostate cancer, but also just in general. So it's not just about growing a moustache anymore. It's also about committing to move for 30 days or hosting an event or attending an event. You know, that's what we always do with Movember. Keeping it fun, keeping it exciting, but it all starts and begins with the moustache being king.
Okay, we'll put up with it for the month for a good cause. I want to just welcome two other guests who've joined us today. Besides Garen, in studio with me is Timothy Hart, who is a survivor of testicular cancer, who'll share his story with us. Timothy, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Pippa.
And then on the line with us is Dr. Corne van Graan, who's a urologist at the Life Wilgehevel Hospital. Corne is standing by to answer any questions you might have from a medical perspective about detection and treatment of these cancers and other issues affecting men. Corne, thank you so much for being available to us today.
No problem, Papa. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the listeners.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Now, that means you can call in with a question. Please do so on 021-446-0567. You can send an SMS to 31567. You're also very welcome to leave your question as a voice note on 072-567-1567. You've referenced the head in the sand effect already, Garen. I mean, as women, for example, we're told the importance of checking breasts for breast cancer once a month, and most women are pretty good about knowing their bodies, checking their bodies, and responding if we see something wrong. Why are men so notoriously bad at it?
There's a combination of factors, you know, and I think Timothy's going to attest to it because I already see him nodding, because, you know, we often think it's firstly something that'll go away, it's just temporary, and, you know, we often don't want to question our livelihood. We don't want to question our mortality. You know, we don't want to have to face that we're getting older. I'm in denial, you know, but the fact is I'm at that age where I have to go for an annual prostate exam. It's the reality. I often do the comparison to the fairer sex, that what the pink ribbon has done for awareness around breast cancer is what we're doing with the ribbon with the moustache to raise awareness around prostate cancer. And likewise with the fairer sex, you have to go to a gynecologist at least once a year. It's the same thing. You know, we have to get ourselves checked out.
Okay. Timothy, let's bring you in at this point, because you've got a very, very good case study for us here, in that you're young, you're a fireman and a paramedic, you look incredibly fit and healthy sitting here in the studio today. You're someone who spent your life fighting and helping other people in times of crisis, but when your own health crisis presented itself, you didn't respond with the same sort of speed and vroom that you would in a fire crisis. Tell us your story. When did things first go wrong?
Well, it happened just after the 2014 August Cycle Tour. I had a bit of a knock on the tour, and I thought my one testicle was feeling a bit sore and a bit painful. But as you said, I thought, it'll go away, maybe just from the tour. And it just never went away, and about 2 weeks later, I started, something's not right here. But you feel ashamed and embarrassed, and it's a sensitive topic for a guy. And I eventually started Googling the symptoms, and my wife was pregnant at the time, and I started experiencing another symptom was sensitive nipples. And that became now the joke of the family, because, you know, she's pregnant, I got that symptom. And it took me another week before I actually took up the courage and went online and found a urologist and emailed him and said, listen, do I go to my GP? Could I come to you? And he said, I want you to see you now. And I went into his office on a Wednesday, and I went immediately for a scan. And the scan came back immediately, and he said, if it wasn't for the Easter weekend that was coming up now, he would have had me on his operating table on the Friday morning.
Gosh.
And so the next Tuesday, I was in the operating theatre and had my tumour removed.
You were lucky. I mean, even though you waited those 3 weeks, you were lucky that it was caught early on. It was still stage one cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, yeah.
Even so, you faced, okay, firstly the surgery, and then secondly a wait to see whether that was going to be enough and whether you were going to need chemotherapy,
which it wasn't.
You did, in fact, need.
Yeah. I was referred to my oncologist, Dr. Hart at the Rondebosch Medical Center, and he said, I've got two options. I can either wait it out and see if it has gone away totally, or I can have chemo immediately. Two rounds of chemo, which will be 6 weeks. And I was a bit skeptical. I said, I don't want to have chemo immediately. You know, I don't want to put a chemical into my body. I'd rather wait it out. And my tests were weekly, and I was coming clear. And he said, okay, now we're going to the monthly test. And within a month, the tumor was back in my lymph nodes in my abdomen, sitting at 4 centimeters by 3 centimeters.
Okay, incredibly fast growing, which is one of the things that you need to know about testicular cancer.
That's
when
great,
it's not caught early on. That's why you need to be so concerned. So you then faced an extensive round of chemo. And how long ago was that?
I started my chemo in July 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And I did 21 sessions of chemo, which was over 9 weeks.
Okay, and since then, what has happened? Timothy, do you have to go for regular checks to check that you're still clear?
Yes, you still have to go for checks. Cancer is going to always be part of my life. I have to deal with the checks. I have to deal with that memory. It's part of me, which I've grown to understand and deal with.
Now, obviously, the experience has moved you to the point of wanting to do what you're doing now, to take the public platform of helping other men to understand you don't put your head in the sand. The minute you think something's wrong, you go and ask for help. What was it that made you realize you wanted to be that voice for other men?
Well, being in my job, I'm helping people. And if I can help one other person in this get over testicular cancer or get them to go for the test, it's something accomplished for me.
Mm.
So I'm not there to hide something. I'm out there. It's giving back to other people. And if I can help more people, it's something good for me.
Well, you're doing exactly that right now. Timothy Hart, survivor of testicular cancer. Thanks for joining us today. We've got some questions coming in for Dr. Van Kraan. Before we go to him, though, Angela's on the line from Melkbos. And Angela says on my screen that your husband survived prostate cancer, probably far younger than many people would expect it to present itself.
Yeah, correct. And exactly what your guest is saying is that just try and make people as aware as possible. He was 43 when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the urologist said that he was the youngest man that he'd seen. And the only reason he was going for tests was because my dad died with prostate cancer. You don't die from it. Apparently, it's really slow growing. It progresses to other areas. And he went for a test every year, and slowly the PSA started rising. And then he eventually went, and he actually wanted to cancel the appointment, I'll never forget. And I said to him, well, you cancel it yourself. I'm not doing it. And I knew he wouldn't. So he went. And that's when they picked up, and he had a biopsy, and 6 weeks later he had the radical prostatectomy.
Gosh.
And I think it's about 8 years later, and every year he has a check, and still good. But just go and have a check. You're never too young to have it done, really.
Angela, I'm so glad that it's all still going well, but thank you so much for making that call and emphasizing the message. And I think we've got to say, as partners, this is the one role that women can play in Movember, Gary.
Well, exactly. You know, every year we get asked the question, what's the relevance of the women in our lives and Mo sisters, as we call them? And it's exactly that. You know, we need to destigmatize the shame that's around, or what we perceive to be shame around having to take care of ourselves, you know. And yes, it is personal, and yes, it does involve, you know, for want of a better word, our junk, but it is our junk and we have to own it. So, you know, most sisters are so key. Often our helplines, it's normally the first call that we get. There's always that famous story with Charlie Boorman, who went across Africa with Ewan McGregor. She determined that he had prostate cancer. Well, incidentally, the Staffordshire territory that they had testicular cancer, and taking the staffy to the vets, the veterinarian called out that he had testicular cancer, and she was, well, my husband's testicles
are the same symptoms.
Yeah. So, you know, and Charlie refers to the story. It's quite hilarious the way he explains it, but it just reiterates the relevance and importance for most sisters in our lives. And, you know, taking up the charge, it's women that are also being affected, because when men are dying too early from diseases that could be curable, that could be determined early enough, it's a crisis. And this is where most sisters are key.
We actually had Charlie Boorman in studio a couple of months ago, and he told the story of the dog and the dog's balls, and he tells it. It was fantastic. So thanks for the reminder. I want to bring in Dr. Corne Fakran on the line here with some of the medical questions coming through. Corne, including one that's already come through on the email from Athian, saying, my father had his prostate removed due to cancer. Should I be concerned for my health because I'm nearing the age of 40?
Yes, interesting question, Papa. Definitely, I mean, if you talk about prostate cancer, I think, you know, as we said, it is common. One in six men will get it. And there's different forms these days. There's non-aggressive, aggressive, and, you know, and we should actually identify each man gets a different tumor. But having a family member, sort of, we call it a first-degree relative, like a dad or a brother, having prostate cancer definitely puts you on higher risk. And that's the men that we would advise to go earlier for checks. So definitely that Etienne should go and have himself checked out at 40.
Okay. What age do you recommend that men start having regular checks if there's no family history?
Normally the guidelines that we use would say about 50, so from 50 onwards. We also know from studies that our black population gets prostate cancer earlier and more aggressive. So in our black population, we actually asked them to go earlier from about 45.
Very interesting. Now, that's the prostate. Of course, testicular cancer can impact and occur much younger than that, Corne. Is there a need to do a regular check of the testicles, as women are advised to check their breasts every month?
Yeah, I don't think they should come to urology to check it. They can check them themselves. So we've got tools to do that. At least I think it's difficult to do your own prostate check, but you can do your own testicular. You can do your own testicular check. So we normally advise the guys, I mean, every month, just have a feel. I mean, you know yourself intimately. So if you suddenly feel there's something that's new or there's a lump, have that checked out quickly. So, I think once a month we advise guys to have a sort of testicular self-examination.
I remember very clearly listening to a talk at Petra Kutcher a couple of months ago from somebody else who'd survived testicular cancer. And he mentioned the fact that the youngest patient his urologist had ever seen presenting with testicular cancer was only 15 years old. Corne, is it important that we know that our teenage sons need to start getting into this habit too?
Yes, definitely. I think we must. I mean, the average age for testicular cancer does start at 15 to about 25. So that's in the young population. It's not to say older men can't get it, but that's the critical area is to pick up from 15 to 25. And it's interesting with your guest saying that he picked it up with the August. Mm-hmm. So many times when I've picked it up, as guys who come to play rugby, they had a knock, and then they come to me to have it checked out. Just felt something strange after their trauma. But actually the trauma put their mind onto to examine themselves, and then suddenly they find the lump. Lump has probably been there a while, but having this sort of trauma effect get us to sort of investigate and then see, oh, there's a lump that actually probably has been there for a while.
Really interesting comment that. Thank you. Christo's emailed saying, asking a question, does testicular cancer always present as something that you can feel as discomfort or pain, or are there other early warning signs?
No, actually, I mean, it's strange for testicular cancer to have pain. It's normally a painless cancer. So you pick it up just by feeling a lump in your testicle. So it's not normally having pain or something like that. Like I said, I think something else leads you to examine, and then you pick up testicular cancer. I've had patients who came to me with infertility. So they came with problems conceiving. And examining them, there's a lump in the testes, which they never realized.
Gosh.
So it's actually just a painless lump normally, what you feel. So there's no actually symptoms. You just have to feel the lump.
Okay. Garen's already mentioned the fact that there's been such an increase in the rate of prostate cancer, that the figures are climbing, the figures for testicular cancer are also climbing. Why is that? Are there lifestyle elements or are there environmental factors that have contributed to that rise in the number? Or is it a case of that we're diagnosing more easily?
Prostate cancer we are diagnosing more easily. 20 years back, we picked up prostate cancer quite late, before the era of PSA, the blood test that everybody seems to be doing. So, I mean, definitely we pick up earlier stage 1 cancers in prostate earlier. 80% of cancers being picked up now are stage 1. So in the past, we just never checked, so we didn't pick it up. With testicular cancer, definitely there's been environmental factors. I mean, we've been exposed to toxins and poisons in the waters and things, and that can have effect. But testicular cancer is still rare. I mean, I think it's 1%, 1-2% of all cancers in men. Mm-hmm. So it is rare. But the good thing about testicular cancer is, like your other guest there, it's potentially curable, which is fantastic. So I think the rate for testicular is not as high as other cancers, but it's not one that we want to miss.
Okay. Corne, Garen's already mentioned the fact that there's a movement element to Movember, the encouragement to get moving and get more active. I'm sure that's one of many lifestyle factors that you would encourage men to embrace to try and improve their overall health, but particularly in terms of reducing the risk of developing cancer in the first place. What's your advice?
No, I would agree. I mean, I think it's interesting, if you look at all the things that we say, we always say in urology, heart healthy means sort of urologically healthy. So everything that will make your heart better will have you impact your urological system, prostate and all of the other things. So I think if we look better at our heart, so those normal risk factors we all know, smoking, overweight, diabetes, high cholesterol, familial cholesterol, and then sort of a sedentary lifestyle. I mean, all of those things, if we work on those things, we can actually, there's a study that said 40 conditions that kill men we can defer or actually postpone if we just look after those sort of four or five conditions in our lives as men. So I think it's important to get the guys moving as well.
Dr. Corne van Graan, thank you so much for your valuable contribution this afternoon. Dr. van Graan is a urologist at Life Wilgehever Hospital. Great to have you with us today. Just in closing, before we run out of time, Garen, obviously we want you all growing your mows, growing the beards, growing whatever facial hair you otherwise might be growing, hopefully not the ears. But where is there a place to sign up and become part of the campaign?
So, everything for us happens at Movember.com. It's our awareness and education campaign. We get to share a lot of the insights that Corne has just mentioned as well, the risk factors, what to be aware of, some of the early detection signs, the symptoms, knowing your numbers, as we say, so from BMI to blood pressure to family history, and with what we're doing with the Movember Foundation, being based in 21 countries, you know, you ask the question, what are those influences that's affecting men, you know, getting more prevalent with prostate cancer, and we busy researching that. You know, that's the beauty of being part of a global organization. We've got 21 countries, we've got the best cancer researchers that are unpacking. We've mapped out the prostate cancer genome. We've been able to determine that there's the pussycats and the tigers, the aggressive or the non-aggressive types, and how now we've been developing a biomarker test that's going to determine which best form of treatment for each foot strain of prostate cancer there is. So, you know, we talk about radical prostatectomies, and the side effects thereof is, you know, sexual impotence, incontinence, hormone replacement therapy. It's things that strike at who we are as men, you know, and this is where we've adopted depression as one of the key factors that we're addressing as well, mental health being very closely associated with it. I'm sure that Tim can attest that there was quite a psychological battle that he had to go through. Firstly, to go and get himself tested, and then secondly, to have to deal with the fact that he's undergoing this, and that fear of isolation of having to face it on his own. So, you know, this is the important thing of what we're doing with the Movember Foundation. Besides creating awareness and education, we're raising funds that's investing into these programs. That's survivorship and research that's going to change the dial on how men live.
Well, thank you both for being with us today to share that story. Garen, always lovely to have you with us, and no doubt we'll chat again same time next year. Timothy, to you, best of luck, and I hope that those tests continue to be clear going forwards, and particularly that you keep on sharing the story you shared with us today, and hopefully encouraging other men not to stick their head in the sand.
Thank you very much, Papa.
Timothy Hart and Garen Gasell. Remember to visit Movember.com if you'd like to sign up. You 2 days late if you shaved accidentally this morning. Don't worry. It's never too late to start.